If someone would please stand and read me John chapter 3, verse 16, please. Anyone. Especially if you're shy, because anyone. Yep. Yep. Go ahead. John 3:16. John 3:16. Don't be shy. John 3:16. If you would speak into the microphone.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. That's an example of part of today's message. God sharing with us the good news of Jesus Christ, the Great Commission. We all have been given the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior. And accepting him will be a life-changing life. Jesus is good. In the first part of sharing Jesus, I shared what it meant to share Jesus. And today's message is titled, Sharing Jesus, How Do You? Part 2. Giving you an insightful definition of evangelism, the compassionate sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to lost people with the intent of winning them to Christ as Lord and Savior, that they in turn might share him with others. We looked at what the Bible meant by the good news, sharing four key parts to the good news. It's the announcement of the kingdom of God. It's hope for those who have all but lost hope. It's a message about Jesus Christ. It's a message that can be passed on. Sharing Jesus is sharing the gospel. And today, again, I'll be sharing responding to the gospel and communicating the gospel. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world, telling them that he had paid the penalty for sin and that those who believe in him can be forgiven and live eternally with our God. Christian disciples today in all parts of the world are preaching this gospel to people who haven't heard about Jesus Christ. Do you ever feel as though you don't have the skill or determination to be a witness for Christ? Sometimes we all feel like that. You must personally realize that Jesus rose from the dead and lives for each and every one of us today. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, he will give us both the opportunity and strength to tell his message, the gospel. If you would join me in prayer at this time. Gracious and merciful Father, Lord, I give you praise and thanksgiving for this blessed opportunity. I am an individual who is not worthy to be standing here, but because of your grace and mercies, I thank you and I praise you for this blessed opportunity to share a word from the Book of Life with those who are present here and those on Zoom. Nothing of me, but all of you. Anoint me at this time that my lips, as they speak such words, will impact the hearts that are present, both here and on Zoom. This I thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Responding to the gospel. What kind of response does the gospel require? It requires a response of faith in Jesus, of acceptance, a personal response, and a life-changing response. We're going to start with Acts 24, verses 25 and 26. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. The gospel requires a personal response. Paul's talk with Felix became so personal that Felix grew fearful. And sometimes my brothers and sisters. That is sometimes my concern when wanting to share the gospel, how people will take it. Some people get offended. Some people get offended. And from my experience, I noticed that, you know, they're listening to the wrong message the wrong way. They're receiving it incorrectly. But yet they are so steadfast in that faith. Felix, like Herod Antipas in Mark 6, 17 and 18, you'll find the details, had taken another man's wife. Paul's words were interesting until they focused on, again, righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Many people will be glad to discuss the gospel with you as long as it doesn't touch their lives too personally. Sometimes when you get into details of the right and wrong, and we all know right and wrong, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Sometimes we ourselves are like, yeah, you know, but be mindful. When it does, some resist or run or leave, but this is what the gospel is all about. God's power to change lives. The gospel is not effective until it moves from principles and doctrines into a life-changing dynamic. When someone resists or runs from your witness, you have undoubtedly succeeded in making the gospel personal. Do realize that some of us don't have the knack to speak, you know, to witness by speaking, but actions speak louder than words. And let your actions guide you into that opportunity to share the good word, if and when you're given that blessed opportunity. We share the gospel of Jesus by letting others know what we've learned and experienced when we've read and studied the scriptures, and at times will be taken out of our comfort zones. How many of us do feel comfortable until we are given the opportunity by confrontation? If ever you find yourself, and you will find yourself, in a position where you can share the gospel, stay there, steadfast, and ask God to give you the information, the resources to share the good news. It's very simple. Communicating the gospel. How should the gospel be communicated? Acts 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The gospel should be communicated to one person at a time. One person at a time. Jesus had told the disciples that they were to witness first to Jerusalem. In a short time, their message had infiltrated the entire city and all levels of society. Even some priests were being converted, going against the directives of the council, endangering their high-level positions. If you notice, sometimes when Seventh-day Adventists have seminars, you give out an invitation. Some of those invitations will be interrupted by pastors from other denominations. Most of you have heard that SDAs are considered a cult. It's deceiving. The enemy has a track for those who are Bible-based Christians. Consider yourself Bible-based Christians. According to the word is what we are believing and trusting our faith in, the word of God. The word of God spread like ripples on a pond where from a single center, each wave touches the next, spreading wider and further. The gospel still spreads this way today. You don't have to change the world single-handedly. It is enough to be a part of the wave, touching those around you who in turn will touch others until all have felt the movement. Don't ever feel that your part is insignificant or unimportant. Today, brothers and sisters, we also have struggles within our inner circle, our family members. If you find it difficult to have a conversation because of concerns of argument, and there will be concerns of argument, Again, let your actions speak for you. Let your actions do the talking. Rely on God's presence in you to lead, guide, and strengthen you to share the good word. Romans 1, 15 to 17. This is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Keep faith, trust God. The one and only way to be sure that the gospel will be spread correctly. The gospel should be communicated without embarrassment. Without embarrassment. I know some of us, we may not be embarrassed, but we tend to let our shyness get the best of us. I go through it, you know? But by God's grace and mercies, I'm standing there like, Lord, please help me through this. Help me share the good news. Use me. And your ministry doesn't have to be major either. It doesn't have to be major. Simply smiling is part of your ministry. People have told me, why are you always smiling? Because I have a God who is good. I may not come out saying it like that, but depending on the person that I'm dealing with, I'll give an explanation. You know, when you struggle is when you should be smiling more, because God is pulling you through. He's teaching you something. He's teaching you for a reason, because someone is going to come across your way that is going through the same thing, but yet they don't know how to come out and say, hey, this or that, you know, but be there for them. Be there for them. And trust yourself to God and do not be embarrassed. Paul was not ashamed because his message was the gospel of Christ, the good news. It was a message of salvation. It had life-changing power, and it was for everyone. What God offers is for everyone. For everyone. When you are tempted to be ashamed, remember what the good news is all about. Though we are weak, God uses us to spread the good news, and he gives us the power to do his work. God is forever transforming us for as long as we allow him. Ask for him to do that for each and every one of you. It is difficult, especially now. These are the end times. The stuff we see, it's happening for a reason. Don't worry about that, because God is going to be there for you. God is faithful. Knowing that the power is his, not ours, should keep us from pride and motivate us to keep daily contact with God, our power resource, the number one resource you can ever ask for. If you focus on God and not on what God is doing in the world, rather than on your own inadequacy, you won't be ashamed or embarrassed. Remember, the righteous will live by faith. Keep faith. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. That is from Acts, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 6. That is why we need to read and study the scriptures. Can no one say, I don't have time? That is not true. We all have time. We all have time. God has given us the choice, the opportunity to have the freedom of choice. So choose wisely with your time and pick up the scriptures and study it. Ask God to give you guidance, directive, because again, we're all working a ministry. We're part of a ministry. We are disciples. Once you become baptized, you are born again Christians who are disciples. You now are part of the Great Commission. It's not difficult, brothers and sisters. It's not difficult. The gospel should be communicated without distortion. This is a good one. Preachers, teachers, and anyone else who talks about Jesus Christ must remember that they stand in God's presence. He hears every word. Many Christian ministers and leaders twist scripture in their own attempt to motivate audiences. A few years after being baptized, being born again, I started listening to televangelists. I became very familiar with quite a few of them, so much that they have a radio ministry as well. Lo and behold, reading and studying the scriptures, they are twisting the scriptures. Some big names out there, mega church preachers. Do I need to go further with some specific names? All right. You know, so they preach, they talk a good game. They talk a good game. But the truth is, God is going to hold not only them accountable, but us as well. Follow the scriptures. The scriptures, it's not complicated. It's very simple. God gave a simple commission. Go out and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Others take scripture out of context to promise their own views. When you tell people about Christ, be careful not to distort the message to please your audience. Proclaim the truth of God's word. If ever you are not sure when sharing the gospel and you're confronted with a question, let the person know. Let me get back to you on that. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try and again, make up your own explanation. Go by the scriptures. Use the scriptures to share your experience. If you think about it, the Holy Bible, it's a storybook. It's a storybook about life. If you think about it, it's our lives. We are all scriptures. We're all going through something. God gave us the example. God gave us the setting to follow the scriptures. Like this, whenever we're going through trials and tribulations, that's what the scripture is there for. The scripture is there to help us do better, to improve, to prepare. That's what the scriptures are there for. Sharing the gospel. Simply put, a few points. Draw on your own strengths according to God's will. According to Ephesians 4:11, the Spirit gives different gifts to different members of the body of Christ. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The prophets' wise insight and the teachers' spiritual nurture are just as important as the evangelists' warm invitation. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a pastor, teacher. Again, because the scriptures are so simple, you, as simple Christians, can share the good news. Again, you'll be very proficient if you read and study the word and share your experience, because we're all experiencing something. We've experienced it. We're going to experience. We're experiencing now, and we're going to experience it. Whatever trial and tribulation you haven't experienced yet, like Paul said, count it joy that you're going through it, because who else are you going to call and ask for? Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11 says that. It's not to discourage us. It's not to separate us from him. It's to encourage us. I know we don't like those circumstances. Finances, marriage, family issues, work. How many of us are having an issue at work with coworkers? I think we can all raise our hands, but you don't have to. You know, pray for them. Don't only pray for yourself. Ask God to, by lifting them up as well. Because the devil is good at deceiving, lying. But we got to rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask God to give you the resources, brothers and sisters. Listen well and meet people where they are. When you're unsure what to say to someone, listening to what they have to say is often a great place to start, and start sharing the gospel with no exception. God gave us two ears and one mouth. We've all heard it, right? Listen more, speak less. And if you think you are pushing to speak more, speak by praying. Consider your cultural context. Culture shapes how people receive the gospel. Different cultures in here, yes? Yes, for sure. A very diverse church, and that's good. That's good. Because in reality, there is no difference between us. We have Jesus Christ. He is single. We are members of the body of Christ. We have different functions, but we are still all the same. We are Christians, members of the body of Christ. So the cultural context you're sharing the gospel within is important to understand. Try and put yourself in other shoes, their faiths, their religion. What should be the context of the very different orientations towards spirituality? Again, be mindful that when you share the gospel, you put yourself in their shoes. How would you want to be approached? You want to listen to something good, but give it to me good that I can start listening, paying attention. Because that's the key. Don't just listen, pay attention. I share that with a certain family member and always comes back saying, you don't have to say that. But it's true. Don't just listen, pay attention. That's what's key. We all can listen. It's just like when you listen to music, think about it. Once you start paying attention to the lyrics, you're going to realize, oh, this is not good. Right? Oh, yes. Then you want to go deeper. Go look at the lyrics. Oh, no, this is seriously not good. So again, if you listen, pay attention. Pay attention. I want to read something from Ellen White. It's called A Call to Stand Apart. As Christians, we are called to stand apart. Okay, not to judge anyone, but to show them what your Christian life is all about. Because again, that is one of the ways to share the good news. If the heart is not kept under the control of God, if the Holy Spirit does not work unceasingly to refine and ennoble the character, the old habits will reveal themselves in life. Men may profess to believe the gospel, but unless they are sanctified by the gospel, their profession is of no avail. If they do not gain the victory over sin, then sin is gaining the victory over them. The thorns have been cut off, but not uprooted. Uprooted grow apace until the soul is overspread with them. Another reading from A Call to Stand Apart. The events of Christ's life, his death and resurrection, the prophecies pointing to these events, the mysteries of the plan of salvation, the power of Jesus for the remission of sin. So all these things, they had been witnesses, and they were to make them known to the world. They were to proclaim the gospel of peace and salvation through repentance and the power of the Savior. Again, brothers and sisters, a call to stand apart. It's not difficult. I know sometimes, because of our shyness, our emotional instability. Thank you. Instability. We tend to shy away from sharing what the Lord is doing, has done, and will continue to do. These are the end times. The same way the televangelists are spreading the what they so-called the good news, we too should be all the more faithful, trusting God and allowing ourselves to receive his Spirit to lead and guide us to spread the good news. Tomorrow's not promised, so take advantage of it every breathing moment, asking God for knowledge and wisdom to share again what the good news is. Again, proclaim the gospel of peace and salvation through repentance and the power of the Savior to share the gospel. Amen.